This is WHTC in Holland. It's time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our guest on Talk of the Town this morning is Dr. Tom Burns. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Duke.
And what have you got in your little portfolio there this morning?
Well, you know, Duke, I guess everybody's kind of struggling with health today. What's going on? And, you know, the good thing about it is, as far as the quality of health, science, we have always continued to grow over the last four decades, ever since the end of the 60s when we started to look at being able to do coronary bypasses and starting to look at stenting and angioplasty and really fixing our plumbing problem as far as our heart and our blood vessels. Since then, there's just been a plethora of new things coming out, and it's still today where we have a lot of research going on. So everybody, if you look at medicine, they can be thankful that we still have a great science background to our medicine. But the business side of medicine is going to drive people down some nutty roads, I think, in the near future.
Very likely.
Except for very few individuals that have struggled with not having insurance. But the sad thing there, there aren't any more of those individuals in total, because many of the individuals that lost their insurance have been left now without insurance, and that's
right.
Kind of sad. And some of the companies that provide insurance and have been providing good insurance for their employees have now been taxed or fined, actually, for having too good of an insurance. So from the standpoint of us as physicians, we don't know where health is going to go from the standpoint there of the employers that want to provide insurance. They're going to be kind of caught in a little bit of a framework of what they can provide, and that they can't give you too much. They can't be too good to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, I don't think that's from the logical standpoint is good, because if a employer wants to provide that insurance, it'd be nice if they could. But there's a movement kind of to make everybody have the same kind of insurance. And everybody doesn't need the same kind of insurance. I have patients that have to see me almost every month, and I have patients that only see me once a year. And there's a big difference in the need of those two individuals. And I'm not sure that the new insurance is going to have the adaptability for the variation that we have in the need of insurance,
mm-hmm.
the need of care in the medicine. And that's it's a confusing thing, and it's of concern, I think, to the physicians.
Yeah, it is. All right. Dr. Tom Burns, our guest this morning, and if you have questions of the doctor, you may call us 395-1450, and our line is open right now.
You know, Duke, one of the things I think that all the listeners and everybody in dealing with medicine now has to do with the cost, the personal cost, and that's definitely going to go up. Anyone that can pay for something is going to pay a lot more. You've heard me in the past talk about some of the issues that are going on, and I'll just mention a couple. I had a call from a patient that previously was paying for his certain medicine. He was paying $15 for his copay was $15 for 90 days worth. And now he pays $90 for 90 days worth of same medicine. And I have here in this periodical I brought today on primary care medicine, you see this advertisement for Donatol. You'll see
yeah.
it here. It's a full-page ad. Donatol was a medicine I've talked about before that came out in the early 70s. It was a great medicine. It was generic for the last 25 years. And Donatol, you could buy it cash for 100 pills for about $10 to $12 cash. And that and it came in the same kind of bottle back in the 70s. It was pulled off the market. The generics were the same company made it. And the same company now has been allowed to bill it back or to market it back now as a new medicine, same thing it did in the 70s. Now those 100 pills, remember I bought those for $12 for 100, those 100 pills today will cost you $440.
Mm.
And that's what's going to happen in medicine, and I think everyone needs to kind of prepare for it. I don't know how it'll ever change, because we as patients probably can't change it, but certainly the payers can, and the payers are going to have to be the employers and you and I as citizens, and there's definitely a need for us to realize that our cost is going to go up, and it's going to go up for whatever reason, and it's not just to pay for people that didn't have insurance. Obviously, that the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies were involved from the very beginning. When Pelosi said they'd have to pass it to know what's in it, every player in medicine except the doctors and you and I as patients and the employers that paid for it, everyone else that in medicine knew about it and were part of that from the beginning. And that's going to kind of roll out, and we'll have to wait and see where it goes
yeah.
for the doctors as well.
Might come to a choice of medicine or groceries.
Well, there are people, one of the things that has happened, and there's some examples that come up on now as far as why, for instance, older individuals or different individuals are tending to have some problems with medications or with their disease because the cost now is prohibiting them from being able to afford their medicines.
Right.
And like you said, they either have to pay for their medicines or pay for their food.
And that's getting pretty tough.
It's getting tough, and it's also the thing is happening in medicine. What I as a internist have always felt, and the way I was trained and was taught, and taught when I was in teaching the role, but that you have to spend time with patients. The new generation of providers in medicine are young. They're very efficient on the high tech computers, and they're being trained to be very efficient. Little time with the patient and more time on the computer.
Time out here for a call. Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yes, we have a relative who's OBGYN in California, and he says that he can't afford to have certain patients, so he asks them not to come back. Does that make sense to you with Obamacare? Or?
Well, there, if you patients that take a lot of time, the problem is that today in medicine, if he's a GYN, he has patients that are all a variety of patients needing time, especially those that are pregnant, those that are dealing with cancer, those that are dealing with hormonal problems. You need to sit and spend time with them and talk to them because a medicine doesn't always do the job. Understanding why you're taking the medicine, understanding what's going to happen, understanding what the process is going to be takes time to sit and talk to them. And that takes physicians. And if the physician doesn't do it, they'll say the medical and insurance individuals will say have a paramedical or nurses or other individuals in the staff to help do that. The problem is that doctor still has to pay for those other staff members. And it's going to be very difficult for a doctor that's in primary care to spend time with patients and give them the time they need. And there's a movement to almost eliminate the primary care doctor in the process. I will predict that in the near future, within the next 10 to 15 years or so, that a lot of primary care, you will go in and put in your name and your symptoms into a computer in the office, and it will give you a diagnosis, probably medicines, and one of the staff members will come out, and the doctor will only see you if you're having new complications of some sort. It's going down to high-tech efficiency medicine, which is going to be driven by medications. The problem is that no matter what medicine we talk about, there's always 10% on each end of that bell curve. In science, we've known this for some time, but in medicine, there's 10% on each end that do not fit in that framework. So you're going to eliminate about 20% of the average patient that's going to be able to get personalized care that he gets today, and that's those individuals will have to struggle with it.
So the doctor can say to that patient, "I don't want you as my patient, really."
Well, they can just he has to provide medicine. By law right now, he has to, the ethics of medicine anyway, but what's going to happen is those individuals, those patients are going to be shunted to other individuals or to clinics in the future. An example is I have an individual I've seen here for years. He's an excellent 72-year-old male. He's has essentially no medicine. He's going to get cataract surgery. He has moved up near Cadillac, lives out in the woods with his wife, and he's called several physicians up there in the Cadillac, Traverse City area, and because he's over 70, he's on Medicare, and this is a man that's only on one medicine, mainly for his joints, very active, very healthy. He cannot find a physician, so he drives all the way from Cadillac down here to see me. But I've been he worked at Prince Corporation. I've taken care of him for years. So that's the kind of thing that's going to happen because of this change in the doctors don't know what they're going to get paid. Let me give you an example. You've heard me talk about the new what's called ICD-10 codes. And we deal with about 14,500 codes today that we have to bill through. In October, they were going to move to the ICD-10 codes. The ICD-10 codes are about 150,000 codes. Now, that process is going to make doctors buy new computers, which they won't be able to afford. But when they were locally given direction and kind of going through some of the upgrades now and the education on the new coding for the physicians, the facilitator made the comment that when we start, because when it was going to start was October, she said, well, when it starts, you doctors don't plan to get any money for 3 months. So there's no way that doctors will be able to withstand 3 months without getting paid. But that may be true. It may not be true. The problem is right now nobody really knows what's going to happen. They're all just waiting for things to happen and let the doctors and the patients deal with it. So,
okay.
I think what's going to happen is many of the older doctors will be driven out by the ICD-10 codes because today, for instance, I'm a primary care doctor. I will see patients and I will take at least 4 hours every night in order to get it in the computer so I get paid. 25 years ago, I was pretty much done at the end of the day. I could go to the hospital and see the patients. I didn't have to. I could just check a sheet, and I had a billing clerk that would bill it. Today, the doctor must bill it. He must put it in and sign off the whole chart before it can be billed. So it's going to be more time-intensive issue for the providers, in primary care doctors anyway.
Well, thank you for answering those questions.
Thank you.
One thing I want to just comment to all the listeners, if you're on medications, there are great pharmacies in the area. In fact, I heard on your radio here coming in, Paul's Pharmacy is one.
Yeah.
But call those private pharmacists if you have medications, or if you're dealing with one of the big chain pharmacies, ask them what it's going to cost you. Now, they'll say, well, you got to bring it in to find out. But try to tell them what your insurance, they got you in the system, what's your copay going to be? And then do they have a suggestion for an alternative medicine cheaper? Try to look now at what you can get cheaper that does the same thing, because that's going to be the answer. The new medicines are going to be very, very, very expensive, and some of the old medicines that are going to be billed now like their new medicine are going to be expensive.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with the doctor.
Yes. Hello. I'd like to know what the doctor thinks about taking extra strength Tylenol, like maybe one or two or three a day, if there's any really side effects of all that.
Well, there's acetaminophen is the generic. Is a great medicine. It came out several decades ago. It was known very well back in the 70s that overdose on Tylenol was very dangerous for the liver. Now there is a therapeutic routine that we go through when people do overdose. But it's pretty much understood that somewhere between 3,500 milligrams and about 4,500 milligrams a day is about the toxic range. So that would take, you would have to take about five extra strength Tylenol per day in order to, and that's the 750, not the 500 milligrams, 7,500 milligrams or 750 milligrams in order to get to that toxic range. Now, everybody isn't at that same range. There are some that could get toxic a little before that. Usually one dose at that is not toxic. What's happening in medicine today is that we're having all of those medicines that are pain medicines that have Tylenol in are being brought down to 325 milligrams. And that's okay because in most of the medicines for pain, Tylenol doesn't give you that much relief. So they are used to be a vehicle to help get the pill a little bigger so that you can handle it. And so Tylenol is very risky in children, and especially young infants, if you're giving them big doses or doses more than the doctor or the pediatrician tells you. So Tylenol in most cases, all the studies have been good. It's being ratcheted down to not be in combination medicines to be protective of the younger patient mainly. So if you're taking an extra strength Tylenol a couple times a day, and you're talking about the 500 milligram, if you're taking that two or three times a day, you're well under the, you're about half the toxic range, so that's fairly fairly safe.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
Good morning. Online with the doctor.
Yes. Is Vicodin in the same family as Tylenol, and are there cautions with that?
Well,
and with stacking the Vicodin with ibuprofen, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Yeah, Vicodin has Tylenol in it, and so does Norco. Vicodin used to have a higher dose of Tylenol, and Vicodin has cut its Tylenol portion back to the same dose as Norco. So Norco and Vicodin are both hydrocodone the dose, and then with 325 milligrams of acetaminophen, which is Tylenol. Vicodin with ibuprofen has no Tylenol in it, so that's totally different. That toxicity of that has totally to do with the amount of hydrocodone and also the amount of ibuprofen. And so those two medicines now are at a dosing that makes it less likely that you're going to overdose and have complications. The other thing we should understand about medications, every medication made has side effects for someone. Every medication is good for someone. Every medication works for some individuals, and every medication does not. It's very interesting. If you just take aspirin, if you take Motrin, you take Aleve, and you take Tylenol, if you give these to different people, 80% will have a benefit from, and 20% will not benefit from that. And you don't know which 20% it is. You can flip them around. It's still 80%, but it's different individuals in each one that may not respond to it. So every medication does not fit every individual's. And so when you hear about your neighbor takes this and he's doing great, it may not work for you. That's why physicians have to spend time with patients and why physicians look at the literature and look at the statistics and help to make that judgment for the patient. It's very important that we know those statistics as far as medicine is a statistical business now. It's a statistical profession. Before it was spending time with patients, but now it's based on statistics. If we have a patient that has hypertension and he has these symptoms or this level of hypertension, we know which medicine to give him and what percentage will get better. And if they don't, we know then what to move on to the next medicine. How many patients that we do certain surgeries on or certain chemotherapy. All those are statistical, and we work at the highest statistics. Medicine today, alternative medicine today, will work about 50% of the time. So if you go and buy things that are not FDA approved, you may have half of the individuals will say they feel better, but they've never been studied. And we can't pass anything in medicine unless it's an anti-cancer, an anti-drug medicine that only works half the time. Most of our medicines that you take, the FDA and science and the medical profession wants them to work for 90% of the time or more. And that's the process that we go through when we're trying to judge on medications. And like I said, there's a lot of great old medicines. The sad thing right now, medicines that have been very good, simple medicines like Valium, Xanax, Ativan, which are medicines that help calm us down. They're anti-anxiety medicine. They help people relax. They help people sleep. They're getting kind of challenged now because they're relatively cheap, and what will happen, they will start to be weaned out of the system so more expensive medicines can come in, and that's kind of what we're seeing every medicine there, though, there are people that are older. They call them high risk now for older patients. But mm-hmm. their patients that have been on these medicines for 20, 30 years are doing great. They're only taking maybe a half of a pill, lowest dose possible, to sleep at night. So what do you, is it better to do that? Or they'll say, take trazodone. Well, trazodone has just as many side effects as some of these other old medicines that are now being gradually funneled down a system to try to eliminate those and replace them with something else. And the business of medicine is going to go on. And just the main thing for all of us as patients, talk to your doctor, talk to the pharmacist, call different pharmacists and find out what you'll be amazed that the same medicine at different pharmacies may be as much as half the price or twice as much, depending on what pharmacy you go to. But the local pharmacies, the private pharmacies here that have been here for years, are great places to call and find out what medicines will mm-hmm. cost for you. We've been very blessed with the private pharmacies in Holland over the last 30 years that I've been here. Some of them have been around for more than that. So,
yeah. I've heard that we've had an overuse of antibiotics.
Well, that's true. And there's no real answer to that except, well, don't give the antibiotics. There's the problem is that at some of these new problems with infections, if we wait too long before we have the cultures back, it also puts the patient at danger. So when you go in ill in the hospital, you're going to get antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
They will do it based on empirical antibiotic programs that will attack the most common bacteria that's going to give you the infection. So that's the antibiotic issue is one that we in the profession is going to have to take in stride. We're going to need new antibiotics. I heard on radio about a month ago by one of the large generic producing companies in the world that all of our antibiotics in this country that we use in this country, and this is just what said on the radio, every antibiotic we get in this country today and use in the medical profession is made outside of the United States.
Hmm.
So there's going to be, I think, some more regulations and more policing of the making of antibiotics, too, so that hopefully that'll end up with a better...
How about a price war on antibiotics?
There's medicine. The price of medicine is going to skyrocket. There's nobody that's. You can't go to school. I from the day I left high school to the day I walked out of Mayo Clinic was 18 years, and I was in education and in school the whole time and training. You can't do that and then make the same kind of money as somebody working in an assembly line out of high school. And so it's going to be a problem to try to entice young individuals to get into medicine. However, most of us didn't go into medicine for the money. I didn't. I went off to college to be an agriculture teacher. I love medicine, but I love the people. I don't love the business of medicine. And I hate computers. I could say that for all the doctors over 50 could say that, you know. And it doesn't help us. We could see twice as many patients a day and do good medicine if we just were allowed to see the patient, take care of them, put the essential data down. One of the things, for instance, you cannot use the Latin kind of little eponyms for or abbreviations for QID, like four times a day. You have to put everything in English and it has to be totally written out. That shortens our... Because now we have to put everything down in the computer that has anything to do with that patient for the day. That's all time-consuming.
Hmm.
But we got to worry about something. The government wants us to worry about global warming. And I just want to say, one of the intellectual guys in town here says, man is only responsible for about 4% of all the carbon in the area. The world itself took care of carbon. The trees take care of the carbon and the CO2. It gives us oxygen. And over the last half century, we've cut down millions of high canopy trees, which were the buffering.